Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope your weekend went well. Hope you enjoyed it. Stayed out of the downpour when it happened. If you were the golfer that got struck by lightning that appears to be okay, love to hear from you at the Fan Text line, 503-864-6326.
Yeah, give us a call, man. We'd love an insight on what that felt like.
Was it like the guy in The Great Outdoors with John Candy and Dan Aykroyd? Six times. 66.
I think that's how it goes.
Dude, that's such bad luck in Oregon to get struck by lightning. It's
absolutely
terrible.
Horrible luck. Also, it wasn't even that big of a thunderstorm. I heard one clap of rumble. That's all I got in
I was
house.
In Hillsboro. It a little bit shook more. My brother-in-law's house.
Was it more
so
going
I think
on?
It was more Weston than it was
I just Portland. Heard one. That was it. And I'm like, somebody got struck from lightning from that? What the hell's going on out here, man?
We'll dive into the Jaylen Brown stuff, and let's kick off hour number two with one of our favorites, a good friend, covers the Boston Celtics for the Locked On Celtics podcast and the NBA at large, John Corrales. You can find him on Twitter at @John_Corrales. John, good morning. How was your weekend?
No, it was great. How are you guys?
We're doing great, man. We're sitting here waiting for the Shams bombs and hoping that Jaylen Brown's going to be a Blazer. I don't know where you're sitting with everything. We know that they're actively shopping him. I don't know if you think it's the Blazers in the lead or you think it's another team, but just everything that is the fallout of Jaylen Brown after having such a great season without Tatum mostly, they blow the 3-1 lead in the playoffs. Just getting to this point and how loud it's been over in Boston with Jaylen Brown basically asking out without publicly doing it.
Yeah, I'm kind of like shocked at the fact that we're even here. I think maybe the Giannis Antetokounmpo trade pursuit was the last straw for him, or maybe he just feels like after the season that he had, he wants his own team. He wants to be the number one guy somewhere. Hmm. Either way, it's clearly the momentum is that Jaylen is on his way out of town. As surprised as I am to hear it, I don't know that was the plan heading into this offseason for the Celtics, but it seems to be the plan now. And the Blazers represent, at this point, probably the best combination of picks that the Celtics are looking for, maybe some young talent, and the opportunity to get a player like Jeremy Grant, a salary that they can turn around and use to package to kind of continue to improve their team. So it's not Giannis Antetokounmpo. And they're probably not going to get the superstar or near superstar that they're hoping for in return. So I think it's going to be a pivot to getting the picks, getting some young players, and getting that salary.
Hmm. I mean, it makes sense for both sides. I was one at the start when the Giannis thing went down. I thought, well, now Brown, the ship's kind of sailed there because I don't understand why Boston would want to do this with Portland. But then you hear what you're explaining and some of the salary and the picks and all that, and then being able to package that into something else. One of the debates that has happened locally for us that we chuckle at, we put a poll question up on our show page on Friday, would you include Donovan Klingon in a trade? And it was a near 50-50 split, which makes me want to scream at my fan base. But let me ask you that question. Is there a deal in place here, you think, without Donovan Klingon, or do you think that will be the hang-up because we continue to hear the Celtics are looking for a big, and he's certainly a good young big?
Yeah, look, I don't think that Klingon's inclusion I don't think that's going to be the thing that derails this whole thing. Hmm. But the Celtics are going to push hard for it. I think, you know, from a personal level, I would love to get Tumani Kamara out of it. Mm-hmm. And if it's an either or, you know, it might just be pick one of those two guys and the Celtics will be happy to get one of those two. And then Jeremy Grant or whatever filler you can get from there. It just depends on the package of picks versus the types of players, you know, fewer picks, better players, better picks, fewer players type of thing.
Right.
As long as the money works salary wise. But I don't know that they're dying to get Donovan Klingon, but they would like to. Mm-hmm. So, if it's not in this deal, they can try to find a big somewhere else, some other way. So, but yeah, that is definitely one of the names that keeps coming up.
We're talking with John Corrales, Locked On Celtics. He's been covering the Celtics for a while. Covers the league as a whole, too. We've talked to him about league-wide stuff, but pretty connected and following what Boston's done. If you were to try to, like, bet, would you bet that it's today that he's moved, or do you think this is going to continue to be a slow roll? Because Steven seems to move at his own pace. Obviously, it's really noisy, so maybe that's a reason to drum up more interest around the league. Obviously, we played Bobby Marks audio before we had you on, so it's becoming very contentious of what Jaylen Brown, what's he worth versus like what kind of player he is. Yeah. Do you expect this to be done today, or would you say it's going to be more of a slow rollout for Brad Stevens?
Well, I don't know if it gets done today, but it needs to be done soon, because whatever the Celtics end up deciding to do, they need to figure out how they're going to build up the rest of their team. Because trading away Jaylen Brown only is like just the beginning of their offseason. So you have to figure out, is it going to be the Blazers package or not? Are they going to have to pivot? Is it going to be Denver? Or is it going to be Atlanta? As long as they have some sort of trade war, some bidding war going on, then they can kind of pit the teams against each other, force teams to make their, you know, best and final offer soon, and then pick from that so they can start talking to free agents. The types of free agents you're going to get depends on what your return is. So, like, if it's going to be Klingon, then great. Then your center situation is set. You got to start focusing on forwards and guards. But if it's going to be Kamara, then you have to go find a big. And so the teams you're talking to are going to be different. You need to get this stuff done soon so you know what the rest of your team is going to look like. So today, yeah, maybe today. There's a lot of stuff happening today. But if not today, relatively soon.
Yeah, it'd be great. We'd love to see something sooner than later. I'm curious what you make as somebody who's followed and covered the Celtics for a long time. Just of this whole discourse, the analytical conversation, the Bobby Marks comments, Jaylen Brown is defending himself on social media. Like, we all have eyeballs we can watch. I'm sure there's a number here or there, an advanced stat you could point to that says he's not great at this or not great at that, but I just watched a guy carry a team to the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, averaging nearly 30 points per game and being the driving force behind that. Just what do you make of this debate and then the idea of it seems like he's kind of always been that Robin his entire career and put behind Tatum in the pecking order of things in Boston.
Yeah, look, analytics and the eye test need to work hand in hand, because your eyes will tell you something, but your eyes also have bias, right? Sometimes you're looking for things. Sometimes because you're looking at one thing, you're missing the other thing. And the stats can support or, you know, refute some things. Stats aren't always perfect either, because each team is different. And just because, well, I understand, like, I've seen Jaylen Brown's advanced analytics always look kind of worse than you feel like he's playing. And I think some of that is, you know, situational. When are you on the floor? Who are you on the floor with? And how much do you have to do? And it certainly exposes some flaws in his game. But no player is perfect. Especially when you're talking about a Jaylen Brown, who's, you know, a 2-time All-NBA guy, a third teamer and a second teamer. So there's going to be something that keeps him from being that perennial first team guy. Okay, fine. But that doesn't mean that he's not impactful. And whatever analytics guy said that Jaylen's going to be the 7th best player on the team, that person should be fired. If you come up with any metric that says Jaylen Brown is the 7th best player on the team, you do not tell Bobby Marks that. You tell Bobby Marks, oh my God, I have a horribly flawed analytics system. I need to fix this before anybody catches on. That's what he should have said.
Yeah, tell him about the broken model that they've created. Hey, guess what this thing said? Jaylen Brown's a 7th on a team.
Well, like, we can debate whether Jaylen is a 1st, a 2nd, or even if you're down on Jaylen Brown, you can say he's like the 3rd best guy. Mm-hmm. But you can't say he's any worse than the 3rd best guy on a team. Right. That's outrageous. So, wherever the analytics rank him, that some players just, you need to look at the eye test and you need to look at what his impact is. The dude was just a finals MVP, legitimately a finals MVP. He was huge in that championship run. So however we got here, he's still a damn good player. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry, I don't remember the second part of your question.
That's okay. On a shocked meter, 1 to 10, where would you be if they just ran it back with Brown? If they didn't end up agreeing to anything, Stevens doesn't seem like the easiest guy to deal with at all times. So if Portland bows out eventually because they don't want to give up a Donovan Klingon or whatever it is, where would your shock meter be of Jaylen Brown in a Celtic uniform starting opening night?
It's probably at a 5, and that might just be because I never expected him to be traded in the first place. So all of this is very confusing to me. If Brad is as good as he is supposed to be, and if Jaylen Brown has any level of self-awareness, he can look at the situation and say, maybe I don't want to go and be, you know, the number one guy on certain rosters. Maybe he doesn't like Portland. Like, I like Portland. It's a very nice city. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't like that fit. Maybe he doesn't want to compete with Denny Avdia. It could be any number of things. Or maybe he loves it. But if he's looking at a situation saying, this is not ideal for me, then he can kind of, I think, look at the offers that are out there. Look at the situation that's being, as well, my dog doesn't like this trade.
Pro Brown, can't make this trade. Come
don't
on.
Trade him.
Yeah. The Jaylen can, if he can take an honest look at how things are lining up, he might just say, look, going back to Boston, I know they tried to trade me, but, It's not the end of the world. I can go back to a place that I know I'm good here, and we can win a championship. I'll wrap it up saying this. Jaylen Brown winning another championship in Boston would make him an absolute legend in this city. He's already pretty close. If he sticks around and if he understands that sticking around and winning another championship in Boston, what that does to his legacy, I think it makes it easier for him to put whatever trade pursuits are out there behind him, and he can kind of get past that and get back to business. So I'm kind of like 50-50 on, like, I wouldn't be totally shocked if he came back.
Legend in Boston winning a second championship's great. He could be an icon in Portland forever if he won one in Portland. I'll tell you that
now. For sure. No doubt.
I'm curious of this from the Boston angle of – like you mentioned Brown being the finals MVP, he was the conference finals MVP the year that they won the championship, the year that he just had kind of carrying them. And I, you know, not that he didn't have any help, right? It's not a completely flawed roster, but being the best player on a team that got the 2 seed, I know the playoffs didn't end the way that they wanted to, but just of what this means for Tatum, I guess, going forward, if the trade is to happen. Like, let's follow that road for a minute. Because I thought the first time they made the finals, and you've obviously watched this a lot closer than me, I thought Brown outplayed him in that Golden State series. I thought he was the better player in the playoffs and in the finals. Then you get back to the finals and you win one, and he is the finals MVP. Like, I get why Tatum has always been the face of the franchise, but I don't know. I find that an interesting thing of, what if they don't win another one? Like, what does it mean for Tatum's legacy? And if they aren't the 2 seed next year and Brown is gone, what does it mean for his legacy of going forward? Because this tandem's been together for a really long time.
Yeah, look, the assumption here in Boston is that, you know, Tatum is the untouchable one, and, you know, Tatum is the perennial first teamer. And you could argue that part of the reason why Jaylen was the finals MVP is because the way Tatum was guarded, it just allowed Jaylen a little bit more freedom, and he took advantage of it. I don't think it will impact Tatum's legacy necessarily. I mean, obviously, if the team drops off and there's, you know, it's going to be tough this coming season because there's the potential for Jaylen Brown to get traded. The return to not be great. And now Jason is facing a situation where he's the one leading another, you know, a lesser than expected team. And it they don't get to the 2 seed, like you said, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, maybe Jaylen, you know, is the best. You're not going to stop the online Twitter folks from making that conversation. They'll say anything. Mm-hmm. I think Jason is a good enough player that that stuff will be overcome. I think the style of play, the rest of the team, like, you got to remember there's a Derek White here. Namish Keita was really good last year as a center. They have good young players. Joe Mazzulla is, you know, coach of the year. They have Brad Stevens, executive of the year. They can figure it out. So I think Tatum is just going to continue to be Tatum. And the Celtics will continue to be good. It's just going to, they're going to have to be good a different way. So I think Tatum's legacy is going to be solid.
John Corrales, our guest here, Locked On Celtics, been covering the Celtics for quite some time. Him and his dog joining us here on the Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. They've done business with Boston. There's always this old adage in the NBA, you know, look who teams have done business with, like, tend to have good relationships. You keep going back to the well there. They did the Drew Holiday exchange. I'm just curious.
They have
a good relationship. Why don't we have a trade yet? What do you think the hang up is right now as we sit?
Negotiations. It's just, this is part of the negotiation. Multiple teams are involved, so it's going to slow the process down. But I 100% agree with you. I'm looking at the same teams that you are, and, you know, when you can do a deal with a team once, then you go back to that well for sure. Which makes me wonder about the teams that we haven't heard of. Are they going to be in the mix? Like, there's Utah with the Angels. There's OKC, who's got some decisions to make and tons of assets themselves. There are teams that Celtics have done business with before that like to operate in silence. Mm. And so the Portland thing is getting out there, and I don't doubt any of the Portland stuff, but I also don't doubt that it's not just Portland, that there are other teams involved and other players involved, and the Celtics are doing what they're supposed to do, which is get multiple teams competing with one another. So the deal that they want to get done is more likely to get done. Exert your leverage, exert your pressure, put the deadlines out there and see if you can, like, they can be buddy-buddy with everybody in that Portland front office, but it's also everybody's competing with one another, and you're trying to get the best deal done for your team. And I think that's just why we haven't gotten a deal done yet.
If you're a betting man, is it Portland? Does this get done with Portland? If it's involving other teams, then so be it. But, like, does Portland land Jaylen Brown in your estimation?
So if we're going to do, like, the betting odds kind of thing, I would say Portland has the best odds at this point, but the field has the better odds. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Portland has better odds than any team, but I'm going to say that's going to be like a 40% chance. But all the other teams have a 15% chance. But that means all the other teams combined, there's a chance that it could be somewhere else. So I'm going to say Portland just because that's where all the noise is. But I'm leaving a significant amount of doubt right now, just because I know how the league works and how Brad operates. And I feel like there's stuff that we don't know that's happening that could be a surprise. Historically, I don't know that it's always the team that makes the most noise with Boston that gets the deal done. It's always like the most noise, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's cooled off, and then someone else kind of swoops in. So I'm not going to rule that part out. But I will say that, I'll reiterate, Portland does seem to have the best combination of all the assets Boston is looking for, with the caveat that unless the OKC Thunder decide to jump in with all of their combined assets, there's a potential for a wild card there.
All right, good stuff. And the dog's name is?
Teddy.
Hey!
Teddy's the one with the big, loud bark.
There we go. My co-host.
Teddy's a great name. Yeah, it's the name of my son.
That's the name of his son.
Awesome. We named him after Teddy Pendergrass.
Ooh, okay. I went Ted, it was more Ted Williams for me back in the day. Teddy Baseball, you know?
That's a good one, too. Hey, we appreciate that in Boston.
Yeah. All right, good stuff. John Corrales, our good friend at Locked On Celtics, with the latest on Jaylen Brown rumor mill stuff. Good weekend of news bits. We'll see if it ends up happening between Portland and Boston. Thank you, John. We appreciate the time.
All right, thank you, guys. See ya.
All right, there we go. Great stuff from John Corrales, Locked On Celtics. Let's react to what he said. Let's dive into it. Jaylen Brown, Portland stuff, took over the weekend. Dive into it next. 105.1 The Fan. All right, good stuff from John Corrales. Welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you on this beautiful Monday morning. Hello. We put up a poll question on Friday, and it was pretty simple. Let me scroll back because I have not seen it. Would you include Donovan Clingan in a trade for Jaylen Brown? Look at us knowing that Clingan was going to become one of the loudest parts of a trade potentially.
The reports are the Boston's looking for a big. Guess what we happen to have?
Well, we have a big.
We got two of them. We also have Chinese Jokic. You want him? You can have him.
Well, we don't have two unless you're counting Jokic or Young as the...
Yeah, he's our number two.
Okay.
He's our number two.
Rob Will might be going to the Lakers, but...
In his second year in the NBA, he has to be ready to play backup minutes, right?
No, he doesn't.
Right?
No, he could be our third guy.
He has to be ready to be a backup.
Year three is when you watch out.
Yes.
44.7% of you, and it went into the weekend, say, absolutely the hell not will you include Donovan Clingan in a trade for Jaylen Brown. This became very contentious on social media this weekend. People
yes,
arguing
did.
If you should do it, why you should not do it. And I'm certainly not going to pretend that social media is the norm, nor is Blazer Reddit, despite what it may make you feel.
No.
But, man, it seemed really loud on the socials, on the internet this weekend, that Portland fans, largely the ones voicing their opinions, do not dare put Donovan Clingan in any trade, even if it involves Jaylen Brown.
It is somehow the curse of Jermaine O'Neal living on to this day, because I don't know how many examples you need the other direction for it to finally set in that it's okay to trade young pieces for a known commodity. Like, how many times over the years, and we talked about this a little bit on Friday, I'll just point to two examples in the last decade. We did this for almost 10 years with CJ McCollum. He's an all-star caliber guard. He's an all-star caliber guard. He could be an all-star. This year he's an all-star. Mm-hmm. Guess what? He never was.
An all-star.
He never got to be an all-star. What yeah. was he? He was the same player every year. He can impact the game in one way and one way only, and that was making shots. Outside of that, he's not going to play a lick of defense. He's not a high assist guy. So you get him on a hot night, and he can carry offensively. If you get him on a bad night, he does literally nothing to help your basketball team win. And we held on to him year after year after year after year with the idea of this backcourt can't be broken up until we sold low and moved on from him when we finally had no other choice. I think we did the exact same thing in the aftermath of the Lillard trade. When we drafted guards in back-to-back years in the top 10, we did the same thing with Anfernee Simons. This guy's going to be this. He's going to be that. We got to hold on to him. He's the next Damian Lillard.
Is this any? This is a little different in the sense of, like, I hear what you're saying about CJ. Simons, I felt, was a little more. There were more people being leeway-wise.
That
like,
was
yeah,
a lesser percentage,
it.
A far lesser percentage than CJ, but those people existed.
No doubt they did. Well, it's always going to exist. It could exist for Jeremy Grant, for God's sakes, in this city, but. I find it very interesting, the Donovan Clingan. Now, John Corrales, who we just had on, if you missed that pod or that interview, you can catch it on the podcast. You can rewind on the YouTube streams if that's what you want to do. Really good stuff. That's somebody that's pretty plugged in, saying he didn't think, and we'll bring this back in the final hour, but basically he doesn't think that this entire deal hinges on Donovan Clingan.
They'd like to have him or Tumani, but it's not the end-all be-all necessarily.
And that's where Corrales is like, actually, of the two, I'd rather have Tumani Kamara, which Tumani Kamara on the Boston Celtics is a terrifying idea.
Mm-hmm.
But from the Portland angle, and I, you know, look, again, I don't want to overreact to tweets, but then you see things like, we can't involve Tumani or Donovan. And I'm just like, well, if Denny's off the table, who are we trading?
Then what are you giving up
you
outside
guys are
of
telling
draft
me
capital?
That everybody wants Shaden Sharp and Scoot Henderson. I don't know if that's the case. You
no.
want good players in this league. Boston's in a win now mode. They are not in a let's develop a young point guard who we're not sure is really capable of being a true starting guard in this league. They're not going that path. They might have Scoot involved in the trade in some capacity.
Sure.
But we are just sometimes we're our own worst enemy in the sense of like we just basically want to live in the world where we don't trade talent, but we want the big talent back.
We want the big trade, but we're not willing to give up what it takes to get the big trade done.
And I find that a fascinating thing here, man. If Denny is off the table, we know Dame is off the table because he's got the no trade clause.
Dame's not going anywhere.
Right. So like if Denny is off of all the talent that you have, everybody else is open or at least part of the conversations. who are you expecting them to trade that a team like Boston, who wants to continue to win in the Tatum era, is going to say, yeah, this helps us now versus, yeah, let's take a flyer. Like, Shaedon Sharpe is cool on paper. I've already seen him in the uniform. But also, man, in Boston, they'd turn on him so quick in Boston what he's done a lot in Portland.
How did it go for Anthony Simons in Boston?
Right. They traded him to Chicago for a backup big, and then he ended up getting hurt. So, like, now he's a free agent.
Now
you take a Bettman in Miami.
Bye-bye.
So, I just, the discourse in Portland involving our young talent, it is a Jermaine O'Neal sickness. It also just, we love our team. Because it's our only of the major four pro teams,
right?
If you were to say, Timbers, you're on the outside looking in from the core four, you look at Portland, because it's our baby, we just tend to love things a little more than a lot of other markets. Where, I heard Simmons did this with Lowe yesterday because they were talking about this. And I know people are trying to aggregate it and do the ha-ha, oh, now you're saying this. Simmons is like, I'm seeing they don't want to give Donovan Clingan. Fans don't want to trade Donovan Clingan for Jaylen Brown. What are we talking about here? And I'm like shaking my head. Like, yeah, I know. What are we talking about here? We're talking about a league that needs bigs, so you get a lot of those people. And then people want to point out that basically Simmons didn't want to trade Hugo Gonzalez for Giannis. And people are like, yo, that's not actually the same trade. Jaylen Brown was in the trade.
Right.
That would have been the talent. It would have been Jaylen Brown.
Right.
Involving Giannis. If we're not trading Donovan or Tumani, who are you involving?
Right.
That's interesting.
It's just draft picks and salary to fill, and then either Scoot or Shaedon, because that's all that you got left on the roster. I understand the desire for Boston for draft picks and a salary like Grant's. A team like Boston could flip that and try and turn that into, you know, fill in the blank of a player, right, of a team that's maybe looking to restart. They can find a way to take those pieces and turn it into something else. But at the end of the day, if this trade hinges on the idea of we want Clingan or we want Tumani, I can feel one way about the other. I can want them to keep one over the other. I'm doing the trade either way.
Who would you rather keep?
I would rather keep Tumani than Clingan.
Really?
I would. But if they say Tumani is the deal breaker, 3 first-round picks, Jeremy Grant and Tumani Kamara, or we're not doing the trade, I'd say then do the trade.
Mm-hmm.
Then do the trade, because I'm getting a wing who's better than Tumani Kamara. It's not even a debate.
I don't know what we're talking about here. He's a two-way.
I feel like I'm taking bizarre, like crazy pills right now. Sometimes when I do this with this fan base, I was reminded of this again this weekend. It's funny.
Yeah.
Our baseball teams played this weekend. And I don't know how many times we as fans need to learn the lesson of known commodity versus unknown commodity. You guys have a backup catcher who once upon a time was the number 2 overall pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And was the heir apparent to Buster Posey in San Francisco. He's now playing on his 4th team, and he's the backup catcher to the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
And I spent 2 years screaming, do not include him in trades for anybody, because he's the future. And then they eventually just like designated him for assignment, and he signed in Pittsburgh, and you got nothing out of him. But at the time, he had a high stock profile. And so I look at Clingan and I look at Kamara. I think they're both. The tough part with this is when these conversations come up, it turns into like a criticism of the guy, as if I don't like them as players or I don't think that they're good. And that is not the case. And I don't want that to be the takeaway. I think Tumani Kamara, to a certain extent, has reached his offensive ceiling. It's not a bad offensive ceiling. He took 7 threes a game this year. He shot 37%. He averaged almost 14 points per game. That's not terrible. That's a really good role player on a team, especially when you combine it with his defense. I don't ever see him having a deeper bag offensively than kind of what he's got right now. He's not a great ball handler. He's not great tacking on his own. He can be a great knockdown shooter, and he's served that role well the last 2 years, despite how bad he was at times in the postseason. And the same thing goes for Clingan. Like, I look at him, and I see a guy who I understand the argument of wanting a big. This is a difference. Charlotte made this choice to keep their young guard and build around him despite his bad playoffs in Con Knipl. The difference between them is Con Knipl just couldn't make a shot to save his life. And he's shown you he has the ability to make shots in almost every game that he plays in. He just had a bad couple of games. That's why you don't overreact to it. We couldn't play Donovan Clingan against San Antonio when Victor Wembanyama was on the floor. Why was that? He wasn't athletic enough. Mm-hmm. It was a matchup nightmare.
Couldn't hit his threes.
Right, and so you can sell me the idea of Clingan getting better, and the Brook Lopez comp we talked about Friday is totally fair.
Mm-hmm.
This idea we have to have a big because Victor Wembanyama exists. The guy that we have couldn't play against him, and the reason he couldn't play against him, I don't ever foresee being something that necessarily goes away.
I mean, goes away in the sense of like better than Wemby. No,
but in terms of like
not.
His athletic ability, his
that's not
going to
get
side,
much
it's,
better.
No,
his shooting would get better.
His shooting can get better, and that's fine. But the argument I see for keeping him is, well, you have to have a big in the West right now.
Yes,
the big we have in the West couldn't play against him in the playoffs.
Well, so take Minnesota. Like, do you you can hate or love Minnesota and what they do? Right, they do have Rudy Gobert, so that does help. But like, they just traded their stretch five, and you can think it's a bad deal that doesn't age well. Because they're kind of taking a slightly different approach. They want another shot creator, another ball handler, to try to ease things for Ant Edwards and open up stuff for guys like Jaden McDaniels. Now, it does, again, help that they have Rudy Gobert, a multi-defense player of the year down there.
Also an All-NBA star leading your team in Anthony Edwards.
But all I'm saying is, like, Minnesota's attacking this from a slightly different approach. You're not going to ever match San Antonio with what their strength is. If I was to make a choice between the two, I'd rather have Donovan. I would much rather have Donovan than Tamani. And I love Tamani Kamara. He's a great player. Him on Boston is terrifying to me. But I would rather lean the 7-2 big that is capable of being in best defensive down-low players in the league. He may never win DPOY. It's hard to see that happening. But he's in a conversation of, like, really damn good low post defensive presence that can alter a lot of teams and what they're doing.
It's a very good young big man.
That being said, is he ever going to make an All-NBA?
I would vote no.
Okay. Is he going to win DPOY?
I would vote no.
Yeah, I think you need some things to go your way that way. It's not to diminish it. It's just to simply point out you have acquired and built up a treasure trove of assets that now has you in a position to go get an All-NBA guy who loves cats. Who went to college on the West Coast?
He would fit in perfectly with us.
I'm curious about the fit part of that too with Denny. That's a fascinating thing.
Oh, on a basketball court, different debate. But from a cultural standpoint, he would fit in with Portland.
An all NBA caliber player,
right.
who led a team classes. To a 2 seed. We don't have any of that. We don't have a player.
No.
So Denny's a good player. He has not done so far in his career what Jalen just did in Boston. I know the age gap, but. I'm just alone on this. I will be different than everybody. If it involves Donovan, I'll be devastated. It sucks to lose it. I love the notion that you can't find another center in the NBA.
Right, they don't exist, man.
And Tamani would be, I'd be sad to lose Tamani. But we are talking about Jalen effing Brown.
Yes.
This is a caliber player this city has longed for this organization to trade for. We finally get to a doorstep, knock on the door. It looks like they're coming to the door to answer it. And somebody next to you grabs you on the sleeve. We actually can't stay. We got to get out of here. Because the idea of a player you have may end up being so good that you can't give him up. And I don't want to continue to live in that world. Let's roll it on. Where are you at on this? 503-864-6326. Want to play one cut from somebody on Portland's draft hall. Tamani or Donovan? Like, let us know how you feel about this. Would you involve either of them in a trade? John Corrales says he doesn't think it all hinges on Donovan Klingon. Where are you at? You can let us know at the Fan Text line. Dive back more into it next on The Fan. Joe Cronin hoping he's in his bag. Jeremy Grant, Shaedon Sharpe, Scoot, and five firsts for Jaylen Brown would be a hell of a win.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like from Portland's side, it will come down to the idea of, and I guess Boston's, you know, what's more important to them? Is it the draft capital or is it a young player? Is it a young piece? Because I don't.
I just they're
Jeremy Grant's
now.
A contract.
Win now.
And no doubt about it. But do they feel like if you give them one more pick, they can turn that into fill-in-the-blank player and replace Jaylen Brown with that? We give them draft capital. We have, by the way, one of their picks. Well, potentially one of their picks because one of the years we got swaps. I think we have the best and worst of the
Cleveland, I think, right?
It's the three teams, and we get the first one and the third one. So, you know, there's that idea of it that they can flip it. I think that's the big question here. Is it more draft capital or is it one of the two young players? Because let's be honest. I would rather keep Scoot than Shaedon probably at this point, but neither one is a deal breaker for me. By all means, if you want them both, you can have them. They don't have a lot of value on the open market. Two guys who, by the way, were draft picks that we could have traded for OG Anunoby, but the thought of Scoot and them were doing the exact same thing. So I you know, if that's the end-all be-all and it comes down to one of the two players, that's fine. Maybe Portland's able to finagle it and say, Grant, Shaedon, and Scoot, but we'll throw in another first-round pick on top of it. And there goes our draft capital, but we've kept Klingon and we've kept Kamara, and now we've added Jaylen Brown to the mix.
Yeah, I mean, if Joe Cronin could get the deal done with Jeremy, Shaedon, Scoot, and picks, I mean, my God.
What if it's five first-round picks?
Build the statue.
Yeah, I'd do it.
If you kept Donovan, Tamani, Denny, Dame, Drew, and brought in Jaylen Brown.
Hell of an offseason right there, Bob. Hell of an offseason.
That is your best offseason maybe ever.
Yes, it is.
I think a lot of people would make that argument very easily. You could say Scotty if you want. That would be an amazing move if Cronin could make that happen. I'm not convinced it will. I'd imagine Boston wants one of the two young studs that we're yelling at each other about between Donovan and Tamani, and we'll kind of see what happens there. Here is Bobby Marks. We played his cut on analytics earlier. He also gave some thoughts on Jaylen Brown and how it involves Portland, his view of Portland trying to get Jaylen Brown.
When you have new ownership in Portland, which I thought would probably make the most sense, they are the ultimate wild card in this because, A, they don't know the rules. This is all new to them. They're chasing a star, right? They want to brand a new star and everything like that. And they've got a ton of things that they can put in a deal. And Joe Cronin, Joe knows the rules and stuff like that, but it's more about educating the ownership group on how to build a roster. And it's a lot different than what the owner did in Carolina with the hockey team.
We have loved, I think, as media and fans to tell you over the years, oh, Portland's going to get involved. Oh, Portland's going to do this and then nothing, right? Like we are exceptional at that.
Yes.
I mean, it's as loud as maybe it's ever been. It is abundantly clear to everybody covering the league. You want to name the name, throw it out there. They're star hunting. They are obviously star hunting right now.
They want a big name. And some of the thoughts that came in, one of them that I just want to push back on because I've seen this and I understand why people have the thought process, but to me, it's like it's kind of a now or never situation. Somebody said, I think keeping Klingon makes more long-term sense. The big thing with the trade is, does it kill any long-term visions for the Blazers? I get it. We want to win, and I want to win. But let's not do what the Heat just did. First off, we don't know what the Heat just did. We don't know how that's going to work out in Miami. They've added one of the 10 best players in the NBA, and when healthy and available, one of the most unstoppable forces the league has ever seen. So maybe that tandem is good enough to win the East next year. I have no idea. So on the surface level, you cannot like the trade and say it's just going to be Bam and Giannis. What if they go fill out the rest of the roster with vet minimum deals and guys that are impactful players because you've surrounded them with Giannis and Bam? We don't know how that's going to work out. The idea of we want to win, but at what point do we find something that is satisfying to that level of fandom, if that makes sense? Like, if a guy who just led a team to the Eastern Conference Finals, to the number 2 seed in the East, has been an Eastern Conference Finals MVP and a Finals MVP, averaged I think, fourth most points in the NBA and was second team All-NBA, that's not big enough to give up your hall of assets for? Mm-hmm. What is big enough to give up your hall of assets for? Oh, by the way, when the Giannis trade stuff was going down, the biggest debate was what? He's on an expiring deal. Will he sign an expiring contract? Jaylen Brown has 3 years left on his deal. He ain't walking next offseason. Like, you know, maybe you could shake. You don't have to trade him. You don't want to. So this idea, like, it's not a one-year, let's go all in for a year and see how it goes, Kawhi Leonard or Giannis. This is a three-year run that you would have with one of, in my opinion, and the NBA backed it up, 10 best players in the league based on the way he played last year. And so this is the one that I want to push back on the most of like, well, this is too much for me right now. Then when is it, what player is it enough for if Jaylen Brown is not enough? Because the chances of you getting a player better than Jaylen Brown in a trade are next to zero, man.
Well, they don't pop up for us very often, right? Like, there's a lot of players, but the Blazers are not largely one mentioned as much as they've been for Brown. Now,
we had a better asset package for Giannis. Why didn't the trade happen? Because he wasn't going to sign an extension, and they weren't willing to roll the dice on a one-year.
Brown's at least been West Coast, went to Cal. Yes. Like, you know, I think you could talk him into it. And he would come here thinking, it's my team, even if Danny also doesn't buy that. Like, that's kind of the thinking of it, right? It's the separation, complete opposite, different conference. Let me just get to the one thing on that. That's totally fine to have the opinion that person had, and it's totally fine to have your opinion. This is where I will not live. I will not live past 6 years. I don't know why we do this in that league specifically. I don't know why we do it in any sport, to be honest with you. Maybe baseball, you can do it. Why does anybody do the whole, I don't want it to ruin our future? What is the future in the NBA? It's largely three-year increments.
Yeah.
It's like, look at how many teams we thought were going to be mega dynasties, and within the blink, don't get another one, and now they're like out in the first round. How's Denver feeling right now?
Yes.
They might be trading for Jaylen Brown. They might jump into this as a stealth team involving Jamal Murray, Cam Thomas, and all these picks. Like, they might be the team that lands Jaylen Brown because guess what? They've got a superstar who needs a little more help. So we live in this perpetual world in our town and our fan base of, well, what are we going to be in 5 years? It's like, I don't care.
The team might not even be here in 5 years.
What have we been for 5 years previous?
Trade all the picks. The team's moving to Kalamazoo, dude. They're not even going to be our picks.
Yeah, jokingly, that might be the case, but like, we cannot live being paralyzed by where we're at in 7 years, dude. I don't know if the world's around in 7 years. I want to be in a world where we have a very damn good basketball player who doesn't seem to have a problem being here, and that's where I want to live. I do think, however, and I hate to bring this up so close to the break, it is interesting to think about if they don't get Jaylen Brown, if it's Detroit, Charlotte, Denver.
Somebody else
right,
does it.
The stealth team. I'm not going to make excuses for it. I do think there's a world you can make a case that they just made the playoffs for the first time in this era. Do you just quietly build and you want to establish your consistent playoff starts because I don't know how much better they're going to be? I think you can make a case. I don't agree with the case, but you can make a case. Hey, let's get back to the postseason, have a couple years postseason run, hold our assets for one more year, and then see what the market is next year to strike. It's not something I'll be super stoked on, but I have seen the case, and I don't necessarily think it's the worst idea of all time if you miss out on Brown.
Look, the silver lining if this doesn't go down is that you still have this collection of assets that you could work with. But I guarantee you, and mark my words, the second we are the seventh seed again and get bounced in the first round of the playoffs next year, we're all going to be screaming about them not being more aggressive. And maybe that's not their future. Maybe Dame comes back and plays like prime Dame and he doesn't miss a beat and he's averaging another 30 a game and he carries us to the five seed and we win a playoff series. I don't know what the future holds, but mark my words, if we have a similar year next year as we did this past year, which I think we can be a better team but still have a similar win-loss record because how much better the Western Conference is going to be, we will all be screaming come playoff time, why didn't we make that move? And I will again just simply ask the question, what do you think the odds are that a player better than Jaylen Brown is available on the open market and interested in playing in Portland?
It's a TBD. I don't know.
Nobody knows, and it's impossible to answer.
Be involved.
That's a role that I said I'm not willing to take, and maybe I'm wrong. And there's a fill in the blank better player that's available next offseason, and we could have gone to go get him. If Jaylen Brown's out there and we got a shot at it, man, you got to take that shot.
All right, we'll see if it happens. We'll get back into this in the final hour. You can continue to chime in at 503-864-6326. How about a palate cleanser? How about a little breath here? 9 more of these is going to make all of us happier. We'll tell you what that is. Plus, we'll get into the debate involving this NFL team who did something this weekend and local news that hit dirt pretty hard this weekend. More of that, Hour 3, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.